Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. So glad that you've tuned in to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning, March 20th, 2016, as we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, or as you'll see it referred to on the calendar, Palm Sunday, and we'll see why in just a minute. Before we continue, I want you to realize that this account of the life of Jesus, this specific account, is recorded in all four of the Gospels, and so that makes it kind of unique. And in just a minute, I'm going to let you know where all of those places can be found so that you can go back and study this account for yourself and read it, learn from it, be reminded of it again in more detail, because we're not going to look at every account in all of its fullness. So here are the four accounts where you can find the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. The first is in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. That's Matthew 21, 1 through 17. It's also recorded in Mark's account, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. So Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11. In Luke's account, it's recorded in chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. That's Luke 19, 28 through 48. And in John's Gospel, it's recorded in chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. All right, let's go ahead and go back to Luke's account of this event, starting in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. So we'll kind of be introduced to what's going on here. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Now, that's pretty amazing. It just shows Jesus' deity in that he knew exactly where that colt was and what was going to be said. And so that must have been a real faith builder to his disciples that actually went to get the colt. But why a donkey? Why the foal of a donkey? Well, Matthew's account in Matthew 21 lets us know that in verse 4 that this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Now, this would be the prophet Zechariah, and this is from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, say to the daughter of Zion, which would be Jerusalem or the people of Israel, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So you see, this wasn't just some arbitrary, random, Jesus was just telling him to go in and find something for him to ride. This was a fulfillment of Scripture. This was something that had to be done specifically so that Scripture would not be broken. And so, you know, to me, this is something that we can be amazed about, even in the little things that the Bible talks about. And so his disciples went, got the colt, brought the colt back to Jesus, and Jesus gets on the colt. Now, this is up away from Jerusalem a little bit, actually down in the valley because you go up to Jerusalem, but it's in Bethany and Bethphage before they actually go down and come up into Jerusalem. And so before we find out what continues to happen as that happens, we want to listen to our first song this morning because it's going to set the stage for what comes next. This is a song by Kelly and Carrie Nichols called All Praise Rising. Let's listen to them sing this morning. What a great song that is. All Praise Rising. And we need to remember to praise God, not just at great, huge events, but every day and throughout the day. We need to recognize how great is our God and that we would praise Him from our hearts and from our lips, that not only would we do it quietly, but so that other people could hear and know that we glorify our God. All right, let's go back to Luke chapter 19 and starting in verse 36. Luke chapter 19 and verse 36. It says, as he went along on the donkey and going into Jerusalem, people spread their cloaks on the road. Now, this was quite an honorable thing. I mean, to take off your cloak, to take off your garment and put it down on a dusty old road so that, you know, a donkey can step on it with this man. But it was significant here that this wasn't just any man. This was Jesus. This was the Messiah. This was the King. And in the fact that the donkey was representative of a king coming in peace was significant, that Jesus was known as the Prince of Peace. And so they threw their cloaks on the ground so that the donkey could walk on them. What a sign of honor. Verse 37, it says, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And Matthew's account also records those same expressions of praise. And so the people were just given up to praise and to glorification, and they were just moved by what was going on here. And of course, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they weren't too happy with it. In verse 39, it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I mean, that's what an amazing event this was. This was Jesus, the man who, and I'm going to read this quote. I think this was really awesome. This was from an online sermon that I found concerning this event. But this man said, all through his life and public ministry, Jesus had proven himself to be the Messiah. He had fulfilled the prophecies, performed the miracles, and he had told the Jews repeatedly that he was the Savior that they had been anticipating. They, however, or many of them, had steadfastly refused to believe his claims. This was the day when Jesus drew the line in the sand, as it were. When he appeared on the donkey, riding down from the Mount of Olives, there was no doubt as to what he was doing. He was revealing himself as the Messiah of Israel. And he goes on to say, at this great event, you will notice that the multitudes are shouting and lifting their voices in praise of the Lord. They know what he is doing, and they are certain that he has come to deliver Israel from the bondage of Rome. Therefore, they cheer him and shout praises to God because of him. You know, most of the crowd, now there was a few that I'm sure maybe got it a little bit, but the crowd, for the most part, thought that Jesus was going to come and deliver them from the Roman government. They thought that the Messiah was going to liberate them and give them back the kingdom and that they would be a nation as they were before. But that's not why Jesus came. You know, he came to be victorious, but not over an earthly government, and not in that way that he would overthrow the government by force. Remember, he told Pilate a little bit later, my kingdom is not of this world. And he didn't wage war as Rome did, but he did come to deliver Israel and the whole world. And yet, the reason for the majority of the praise and the cries and everything that was surrounding him was because the people thought he was going to deliver them from Rome. And this is one of the reasons that the Pharisees were upset, not just because they were jealous of him. That was certainly there. They were envious and jealous, but they didn't want Rome to come in and, you know, put down this thing and that they'd lose their positions of power and prestige. All of those things were a part of it. And so Israel was looking for a hero, but they were looking for the wrong kind of hero, unfortunately. And that doesn't mean that all of them felt that way, but certainly the majority of the crowd did. Hey, let's listen to our second song this morning. This is a little rockier song. This is a song by Skillet called Hero. Let's listen.
Superhuman.
I'm not superhuman.
Someone save me from the haze. It's just another war. Just another family torn.
Fallen from my feet today.
Just a step on the edge. Just another day in the world we live.
I need a hero to save me now.
I need a hero
to save me now.
I need a hero to save my life. A hero will save me.
Just in time.
I've gotta fight today to live another day. Speaking my mind today.
My voice will be heard today.
I've gotta make a stand, but I am just a man.
I'm not superhuman.
My voice will be heard today. It's just another war. Just another family torn.
My voice will be heard today.
It's just another kill. The countdown begins to destroy us.
All right, we do indeed need a hero to save our life. Now, unfortunately, for so many, they think that Jesus is just here to take care of temporal things. But I want you to know he came for a whole lot bigger purpose than just that. So what was all the excitement about then? What was all of the shouting and praises? Well, we've shared that with you. But again, let's state it again that for many, Jesus represented, you know, miracles and power, and they were awed by the things that they had heard he had done and the things that they'd seen him done, and they were just, you know, amazed by those things. Now, some people were genuinely touched and moved by those things, and others were just kind of captivated, almost kind of like a circus or a magic show or something they didn't understand. I want you to know that just because Jesus did miracles and was very, very, very powerful, that's not going to save you just by knowing that, all right? And then, you know, the things that Jesus taught, people came to him in huge crowds to hear what he taught. And many times in the Gospels, you hear people saying, you know, we never heard anyone speak like this man. They were amazed because he taught as one that had authority, and he taught right straight into their hearts. And so many people came and followed to listen to his teachings. Now, many people took those teachings to heart, but a lot of people just came along for the show again. And sometimes, like in John chapter 6, sometimes his teachings got too hard and they wouldn't follow him anymore because they just didn't get it and they thought he was ridiculous, and so they walked away. But just knowing that Jesus was a great teacher, again, it doesn't do anything for any of us to just know that he was a great teacher, or even if you know what some of his teachings are. What's important is that you know him and that you put his teachings into practice in your life because of who he is. You know, Jesus had great expectations for his disciples, that if they weren't willing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him daily, they weren't worthy to be his disciples. Because you see, Jesus didn't just come to this world to save us from social and economic and physical problems. He came into the world to go to the cross. He came into the world to die on that cross for our sins. You see, it was God's plan and purpose that Jesus lay down his life for us, and he did that. And when you read passages like Isaiah chapter 53, Wayne just shared a great exhortation with us around the Lord's table last week from Isaiah 53, and how Jesus was a suffering servant. He took our sins upon him so that we wouldn't have to suffer for them if we would come to know Jesus as Messiah. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross so that he could forgive our sins through Jesus. Because God can't just forgive sins and say, oh, it's no big deal. Every sin has to have its just punishment. It has to be justly punished, or else God isn't God. It's so important for people to realize that, because most people just think God is just a God of love and that they can just do whatever they want and get away with it. But God is a God of justice too, and every sin, not just big ones, every sin demands justice. And so God poured out all of that punishment on his own Son so that we wouldn't have to stand before him and be condemned. And so I want you to understand this. There are many who enjoy the miracles and the messages and the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, but they miss the fact that salvation doesn't come through those things in and of themselves just to know them, but they come through fellowship, relationship with Jesus, with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus didn't just come to heal and to feed and to bless and to teach and to fulfill all of those Old Testament prophecies. He did do those things. But Jesus' purpose was to go to the cross to die for the sins of man. And until you come to know him as Savior, until you will humble yourself and admit that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and that you obey the gospel by repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you can't be saved. And so I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And let's listen to our last song this morning by Chris Tomlin, Jesus Loves Me.
Covered in shame.
Oh, what a powerful song. Jesus loves me. And I want you to know, friend, that he does. But he wants you to come out of the world. He wants you to step away from your sin and from condemnation and from guilt and from cursing God and running away from him and run to him. And so I pray that that's where you are this morning. And if you're not, we want to help you. We want to share the truth with you. We want to answer your questions. We want to see you be in that fellowship of Jesus Christ so that God can forgive you too. We're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come and join us on Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have a Bible study and prayer. We encourage you to come out for all of those things. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to help you to find God or to encourage you in your worship of God if you're looking for some place to do that. Check us out online, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and find out a little bit more about us. But we encourage you to just keep seeking after Jesus. Keep praising him. Keep trying to learn more and more and more about him as you go through life. We're going to continue this message next week, which of course is Resurrection Sunday. So I hope you tune in next week, and God bless you. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.